What up, this is your boy DJ EFN. You might know me as a drink champ, but first and foremost, I'm a proud father. I linked up with two of my other dad homies, Manny Digital and KGB, to start the Fatherhoods podcast. Each week, we bring you insider hip-hop stories, parenting, and advice and therapy. The saying is true, it takes a village, and we humorously serve as each other's trusted counsel in figuring out how not to screw up being a good dad.
The Fatherhoods Podcast. Beats, rhymes, and diapers.
Yo, Fatherhoods fam, when you're out and about with your baby and they start wilding out, what do you do? Most dudes are fumbling through the traditional baby bag their lady prepped for them, trying to find that one thing that will calm the kid down. That doesn't have to be your life. Dig no more. The firstborn diaper backpack from Fly Dad has over 21 compartments to have everything right where you need it to be for you and your baby, and keeping you fly through the process. Get $20 off when you visit flydadgear.com/fatherhoods.
What up, Fatherhoods?
Hey.
So what do we dive into today, guys?
Yo. Well,
I'm celebrating a birthday today. Not me, my daughter.
Which daughter?
The youngest of the three youngest kids. She's turning 8 today.
Brr, 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 brr.
Yeah, if we had our sounds, it would work, but no. And we celebrated my oldest turned 17 a little over a week ago. So nice. We've just been...
Happy belated and happy birthday. Do you... is your daughter allowed the day off of school or she got to go to school?
We gave her the option.
Really?
Yeah, we just like, yo, the more I age, the less I'm like with the social standard of school and the way I was brought up. Because I look at that shit as like when you,
what,
when you,
what does that mean? That you have to go?
No. I still want my kids to go to school and do well and all that good stuff. But I don't take it as serious as I expected I would at this stage. So, for example, like, you know, we would be hard and fast, like not planning vacations throughout the school year because we don't want them to have to miss any days off. Right.
Right.
But then I'm like, I mean, if they miss a couple of days here and there because we're on vacation, like not a big deal. We won't purpose. Like we're not trying to have them miss weeks and shit, but like, I don't take it as serious. And with her birthday, we were like, yo, you want to stay home for your birthday? But my daughter, she's the youngest one. She's like, she loves the attention. So she wants the whole week is like birthday week at school. So she gets to be like, because they divide tasks and stuff in the classroom. So she gets the best one of them and people are giving her props and all this stuff. And so, you know, she loves that stuff. So she's like, no, I'll go to school. But yeah, so she left real hype today. I'm going to school today.
Man, my son he'd have been campaigning for a day off of school months in advance.
Would you let him not go? Like, what would you do, Kay? What do you guys do?
Yeah. Now, unfortunately, his birthday typically now falls on, now that we're in this new school, school starts like almost the same day or like a day before his birthday.
He kind of has to go because
no. He'll go to, like we've done in the past, like 2 years. It's 2 school years. It's been, he'll go to the, like, let's say his birthday's on a Friday or whatever, right? And school starts on Wednesday or Thursday. Go to the first day, and then we tell the teachers like straight up, like, oh, we're out of here for for the week, you know, for the long weekend or whatever. So.
Isn't the attendance used down the line for like scholarship stuff or no?
I'm sure.
Maybe not elementary school, probably doesn't matter.
Once you crack, I want to say it's maybe seventh grade, maybe like, what do they call it? I call it junior high still, middle school. I think that's when they start to really tabulate things.
They make a big deal of it already at my daughter's elementary school.
Yeah, like, well, I'll tell you why that. So what I learned from dealing in both public and private schools is that, you know, the attendance means a totally different thing on the public school side of things. So, you know,
funding.
Basic Yep. Basically, a day that a kid is not at school that's reflecting upon potential funding for the school. So they have, I guess, certain thresholds they have to meet in terms of, and I'm no, you know, I don't know this super in depth, but from
Right. That makes
my
sense.
understanding is, yeah. So it's like, you know, aside from kids missing work and all that stuff, but it's also that attendance is crucial to funding for the schools from the school districts.
Because I'm like, the way that they stress it and they give like awards and all this stuff, I'm like, man, kids get too sick too often for that to be a thing,
has
bro.
to keep that money coming in, man.
Yeah,
Yeah.
and they're trying to, I don't want to use a, like condition makes it sound like a bad thing, but they're trying to get them into the habit of having that be a routine also. But it feeds into all the public school funding thing is a real thing. Like they really
Bro,
need
we're
the
paying every
numbers.
week, every day for something. This week is a cat, what's his name? A Dr. Seuss week, where every day you can
Oh
pay
yeah.
to dress up as Dr. Seuss stuff. Like,
You
get the
have
fuck
to
out of here, bro.
pay. Wait. Do they go in uniform to the
Yes.
thing? Okay,
Yeah.
that's why.
But you couldn't tell me my daughter has a uniform because we pay every day for some out
Right.
of uniform stuff. It's crazy. And then like right now we have which I'm excited. I don't know what to expect, but I'm excited. It's our first daddy-daughter dance.
Dope.
Which I think is way too young to be like in kindergarten. If they do it every year, it's not so special anymore. You know what I'm saying? Like
Oh
I thought like
yeah.
it's like a special thing, you know, as they're older.
Do they do it in other grades, or is that just a kindergarten thing?
No, it's I think it's the whole school.
Oh, really? Huh.
Yeah. And then it's a fundraiser. You
Okay,
pay to be able to
got
go.
it,
They even put up on IG like sold out.
yeah.
Like
Right.
making a big deal about it, like making other dads feel bad that they
Trying to
didn't make
give
it, you know, like jerk.
you give me the
Yeah.
FOMO.
So
So wait, so
it's
you go into this thing.
yeah, tomorrow.
Huh?
So what's up? What's the attire? 'Cause
Bro,
you
I'm not
Adidas
dressing up.
kicks, shorts, and a towel,
No, not
bro.
shorts. Not shorts, too. But my daughter's dressing up. She's all like showing me the dance that she's like gonna do one of her ballet dances, and she expects me to like do a ballet bow to her, which I'm gonna try and do. And I don't know. I don't know what it's gonna be. It says on the thing DJ so and so, and it's in the cafeteria, so they'll
You
probably dress
know
it up. No, I don't know. DJ so and
him?
so.
Yeah.
Imagine. Oh man, I hope not. I mean, I told you the recently. Or not reasonable. The other day, they had a fundraiser. It was a food truck, icy food truck, and my daughter's excited. So we're there in the line and to get it. And it's after school, and the dude was like, "Oh, drink champs!" Wanted to
That's
give
not
us an extra joint. I'm like, "Nah, bro. There's other kids
right.
and family here. What are you doing?"
We're talking about
Jeez.
ice cream, folks. Not that the ice cream man has joints.
No, no, no,
The
no.
same
Joint
Friday.
equals ice cream. No, no,
Yeah.
not, not, no, no.
This ain't the movie Friday, guys.
Right.
But that would be awkward
So,
if they know me, if the DJ knows me.
huh.
So the kids were saying drink champs or
No,
the
no, no. The
okay.
guy in the food truck was like a young dude that ran it. It
Got
was
it.
cool. But it's just to me, it's awkward. Like the drink champs thing, anything around the kids in school, like that to me is a little weird.
I'll tell you one thing, and I wasn't expecting this, but I guess there's a couple factors, age being one, and kind of what these kids are into versus what Drink Champs kind of concentrates on. But so I got a chance to speak at Career Day at my old high school in the Bronx, and as part of what I was talking about was just my entrepreneurial exploits, and I talked about, you know, us as fatherhoods, and then, you know, my how I work with Drink Champs every so often and that kind of thing. And they it was blank stares.
Yeah, they don't know
And
what it is.
I know, but it shocked me because in my circles, my peers, very
Right.
easy for them to understand. And they're like, oh shit. But with these kids, it was like, it's like, what? What is that? And I didn't even begin to like go down the rabbit hole. I was just like, all right, cool. Yeah, you probably never heard of it, whatever.
It's surprising how old they think we are, these young kids now.
Oh yeah, dude. They're like we're grandparents to them.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it though. When we were their age, like 40s, 50s, forget about 60s. Like if you're touching 60,
Yeah.
might as well be dead.
Yeah. I mean, they do say, though, that generationally things have changed where our age feels younger because of life expectancy and certain things, you know. So we're like, you know, and then they have the your real like physical age thing. That's a thing medically. That's really a thing. Like doctor will be like, you know, this is your real age and this is your medical age, which could be older.
Oh,
got it.
Or younger. Yeah,
you beat yourself up too tough and now you're
body.
Right, okay.
Like you're 48, but you're 108 and you might die tomorrow. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Do you know your medical age?
No, I saw this on social media, so maybe.
Oh, it's not real.
No, it seems pretty real. It made sense what I saw. But what I'm trying to say is I think that times have changed where our age and our generation, it doesn't identify with that. It doesn't even look age-wise the way that, you know, when we were younger, these people, like, you know, freaking teenagers look like grown-ass people. I remember people coming to my junior high, like grown ass men, and they were just in high school and they had bigotes and, you know, like the 6 o'clock shadow or whatever. Like, it's crazy. I think times have changed, but maybe that's just me because I'm old and I want times to change.
Right. I saw like high school standout high school athletes. I think they might have been football players, bro. They looked like in their mid 20s, like full beards, like the whole bit, and they're like 16.
No way. Full beard, 16?
Way. And they're like 185 pounds, like solid, like 6'5", like crazy. And they just look like mad old men, bro. Like LeBron James, for a while, when he started, he looked like an old-ass dude.
No, he looks like the same person when he was in high school.
Exactly. Just a little more facial hair.
Manny, go back to your speech though at the school. That's pretty dope. Congrats, by the way. That's kind of dope that you did that.
It was cool.
How old were the kids? So like high juniors, school age, right?
Yeah, juniors and seniors.
Okay.
And I'm a big, so the school I went to is called St. Raymond High School in the Bronx, and it's known for basketball. I mean, academically it's solid too, but I'm a big fan of the basketball team. I've been following them since I left school. And I'm friendly with the head coach. And so some of the kids that I was talking to happened to be on the basketball team. And then as I was preparing for the conversation, I was looking at, because I'm going through this with my own daughter, right? My 17-year-old. Like the type of anxiety that these kids likely feel as they're approaching making decisions around where they want to go to school and that kind of thing. And it was an interesting dynamic because you got some kids that are very likely getting Division I scholarships to play ball at pretty much what school they want to go to. Then you got everybody else who has to be figuring out what they're going to do. And I kind of like polled them a little bit. And I was like, yo, so what do y'all think? Do y'all know what y'all going to do after you graduate? And a lot of them, more than the average, knew that they had a plan. Whether that was, I'm going to college, I'm going to go find a career, whatever. And I was surprised. How many
students? About?
In total, they were probably 150.
Okay.
Something like
in
that.
In the room? Yeah.
Nah, I mean, I had them split up into four sessions.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Okay. And so that's a challenge, right? Talking to a group of kids for 30 minutes, trying not to, and it's all boys. It's an all boys school. So boys goof off all day long. That's what we do.
Right.
And I was able to keep them engaged enough in the conversation where they didn't goof off. They didn't fall asleep. They listened and they were able to ask a few questions. But it was really interesting how, like, doing my research before approaching the class, 75% of kids that are graduating high school have no idea what school they want to go to, what they want to study, or what they want to do after college. And I was like, yo. So as parents, me as a parent, I was putting a lot of undue pressure on my daughter early. Like as soon as she entered high school, I was already thinking like, yo, we got to start strategizing, like how are we going to go to college, what you want to do, feel it out. Asking her some questions, but not really going too hard. And then as the years went on, I've started pressing her more. But as soon as this year hit, I backed all the way off because she just, you could tell like there's anxiety and there's a lot of like questions, and growing up feels like it's going to suck because they see like real life is like, you got to go to a job and all this stuff. So I kind of just let her loose. And but after that experience talking to those kids, like, I was like, that's probably the right approach, and just feeling them out on how they're thinking about things was actually pretty cool. And for them, like, I polled them at the end too. I was like, yo, was that whack? Did y'all get some value out of that? And every time they were like, nah, that was cool, man. I appreciate you sharing that. Which, again, it could have easily gone the other way. And it could have been a, could have been
a brawl. That's hard to engage that age, man. For it's sure.
Yeah. For 30 minutes?
The same combo for each session?
Yeah, I had a presentation, so I just went through it kind of with my own, like,
nice
spin to it.
Yeah. You're a hell of a guy, bro. I've been asked to do that, and I just, I don't, I'm not up to it.
I mean, you barely like to be on a Zoom call. Like, why? Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I mean, it's not for everybody. It's tough.
I just don't feel even confident as an example, to be honest with you. Like, I'm not saying I'm a bad example, but I'm still feel like I'm figuring certain things out. So I'm not really prepared to tell some other fucking people, hey, this is the way you need to do it, or this is how you should do it.
But I mean, so I was very careful about, I opened every one of those sessions with, I'm here to share my perspective, my experience. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm just going to give you some examples of things that I approached and mistakes I made, how I got through them, and things that I'm experiencing now, just for you to have a perspective on what life could look like if you decided you wanted to borrow from some of what I had to do.
What were some of the questions that they asked you?
So I mentioned to them this, I think this was where a lot of the questions came from. Well, how did you pick your college? I happened to go to college. So I, you know, they were asking me like what things I took into account. Why I decided to quit the 9-to-5 route and go full-time entrepreneur. Because I was at the height of it when I quit. Basically, I was a vice president at Yahoo. And I was like, yo, I'm done. So they were like, yo, are you crazy? Like, why would you do that?
right.
So it was about that. And then I was surprised. I thought they were going to ask me about, like, money. Like, how much do you make? Or, like, stuff like that. They didn't really get into that. They were more just interested in, like, some of the pitfalls and, like, how I was able to pick myself up. And I went to 3 colleges in 4 years. So that was mind-blowing to them, too. Like, damn, that's a lot of change fast. And you got out of college in 4 years with all that, you know, challenge in the way. So we just kind of – but it was really light on the questions. Like, I think they just took the information, was processing it, and then
– took it for what it was.
Hopefully they did, yeah.
Your kids ever ask you how much money you make? Is that something that you guys would ever share with your – kids, like the
I don't want to
financial health of
it comes up in like cryptic ways. So like we went to a Knicks game this past week and we had really good seats, right? And it wasn't like somebody hooked me up. I went and purchased them because it's something I really wanted to do, and they were pretty close to, they were like 4 rows back from the court, the actual court. So my son was asking me about the price of those tickets, and I divulged it to him, and that helped. He was starting to do like mental math around it. Like, oh, and they still don't grasp what that means. Right. If I told him $100 and I might as well tell him $10,000 because to him in his mind, it's practically the same thing. So but I don't share like what I make. But in some instances, when I close a deal here or there, I give them a frame of reference of what that deal amount is. So they can, and then I kind of switch and I say, yo, but look, our bills every month look like this. So look at this one deal and look at what our bills look like. So you can start to understand like how life works for us.
That's good. Bring up the bill comparison. My son's always asking us, like, what do you guys make? What are we poor? Are we what? Like, what are you like trying to figure out the category? You know what I'm saying? Like,
yo, when I go to school tomorrow, should I feel poor? Or should
I feel rich? I want my kids to get to that point because they're too young and they don't grasp it. Like, yet my son woke up because I had drink champs yesterday, and he woke up today and he was excited to see me, and he's like, why do you have to work? And I'm like, Papa, I have to work so that we could pay for the house, buy food, buy your toys,
right?
You know, but you know, he doesn't really get it. He doesn't really get it. But I want him to understand. But I don't know, man. Fuck this life.
I try. So like, I tried. I tried not to make the mistake of positioning all this stuff as a stressor. Because it could.
That's why I said fuck this life. I started thinking about it. Like,
yeah, you start getting stressed.
You like that bed you're sleeping in, right? That's why I got to work.
I try not to do that because sometimes, like, I'm, you know, when you're in the zone working and you got a ton of shit you got to get done, like, there's a level of stress that you feel. So you're trying to knock things out. And then your kid might want some attention or for you to spend some time. And then I found myself like being like, yo, you like that TV and the internet?
Right.
All right, well, I got to go back to the office so I can make sure that thing doesn't get cut off. But, and then I'm like, that's not the example I want to set. I don't want them to have to feel like money is so limited. Like, I don't believe that. I believe money is everywhere. You got to go get it. Right. But it's there. It's like, I mean, as an example, right? And I won't put nobody, like, I won't specify who I'm talking about, but you can have an idea. And creatives, I think this is very much how a lot of things happen for them.
Am I going to get offended?
No, I don't think so. I hope not. So you come up with an idea, right? Let's just say it's a piece of art for the sake of, you know, specifying a creator type. And that piece of art to you has some significance. But then somebody else walks by, sees that piece of art, and is like, yo, and they have a vision for where that thing is going to live, and there's a certain value attached to that in their mind, right? So then those two people have a conversation. The purchaser purchases it, and it might exceed the expectation of what the artist expected, right? And now that piece of art transitioned from just a piece of art to monetary compensation, and then somebody got probably more value than they feel like they paid for it. And fundamentally, everything that you do is a sale, right? And that's why I always feel like money is unlimited, because you could almost literally create that shit just from an idea if you're put in the right place and circumstance and got the right relationships, etc. So I always try to position things to them that way so they understand, like, it's not always I gotta go get on the hamster wheel, go get a job, wait for somebody to pay me, all this stuff. Like, you can create those opportunities for yourself.
But I think you have to be careful too, because you have to also explain the reality of it's unlimited, but there's going to be times where you're going to feel hopeless because
tapped in at that moment.
Yeah. Yeah. Basically you're not surfing that wave at that moment. You know, there's no waves. Yeah. So, and I think that there's a lot of people that fall into that pitfall where they're trying to be all like positive and they're like in a groove for like a couple months or a year or whatever. And then something happens out of their control and life takes a dip and they just feel hopeless. And that's actually the time where you need to ponerte los patines, how we say in Spanish, which is means get on that track where you get your creative mind going and you know, look at life a little bit more positive when you least are expected to.
Yeah.
And that's when you really make a lemonade out of lemons, you know what I'm saying?
It's never easy. Like, we're talking to y'all right now, and I hope this doesn't come across like, yo, it's mad easy, do X, Y, and Z and you'll be whatever, right? Like, it's not how it works. But what you just say about even in your lowest lows, like, if you're still able to have that routine to, in this example, continue creating or hustling at the job that you have or hustling to get the other job that you want or whatever that is, like, you can't lose hope because it's there.
You just need 1% in your battery. It's the people that let it go to zero and can't get out of that. If you can, 100%. Doesn't mean you're gonna be at your lowest and perform at, you know, and be like, yeah, I'm gonna come out swinging. Nah, you might be struggling, but as long as you're fighting the fight, even at 1%, then it goes to 2%. Like, you just gotta like slowly recharge, and that's really, really at the end of the day, that's like what I want, like, for my children to be able to have resilience in that way, to weather those storms, you know what I'm saying? And when they're doing well, enjoy it. But, you know, just have a, you know, have plans and preparations, but be, you know, and be able to have those skill sets that when life throws the inevitable at you, which you're going to, everybody's going to have a downtime in their life, more than one, most likely, that they can weather that storm. And that's important, I think.
Hey, do you share with your son your wins and your losses when it comes to work?
Yeah, I don't know if I get deep into specifics, but like oftentimes same with my wife, oftentimes, like if he's going through like a school up and down or something like that, I'll often try to find a work example to let him know, like, look, this is what you're going to, you know, whether it's work or past businesses or, you know, anything that I can show him in another real world example of something that I've gone through or my wife has gone through, that just to kind of show him, like, look, the stuff that you're going through right now, this is in preparation for you to learn how to handle it, because guess what? This same kind of stuff is going to happen, you know, not to be a downer for him, but it's like, it's true. Like, this is the same stuff is going to happen later in life, whether you're at a job, whether you have your own business, you know, personal life, whatever it is. So figure out how to handle it now, learn from it, so you don't have to be a hardhead. And when you encounter the same kind of scenario, when you're older, you're a little bit more well-equipped and you're not going to just fall apart with whatever it is. So I usually try to do it that way.
I don't do it enough, but it's something that I think is super important. Is if you're able to, like, and sometimes it doesn't have to be an example. I typically do the same. Like when they're going through something high or low, I'm like, oh yeah, that's like da 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 da, and I try to connect those dots. But even just coming out, like I need to practice doing this, because I notice when I do it that there's like a light bulb that goes off in my kids' minds, and it triggers them to be more sharing as well, which is something we want to have as much open communication here as possible, because otherwise we're going to be kind of like our guest last week. Like there's a ton of stuff he just didn't know that his kids were up to or, you know, got involved in. I want to try to limit the amount of things that they keep inside and are more prone to sharing their things. But like, even just out of the blue, like I work in the basement and there's my office here. And when I come upstairs, like literally like just coming out and be like, yo, you don't know what happened today. Or on the opposite end, like, man, I really screwed up X, Y, or Z. And just being able to be candid like that and show them like, yo, your dad is not just like this even keeled facade that you see most of the time. Like he goes through these things as well, but peep how he's handling it through how I communicate it.
Yeah, it's probably that's interesting, because I probably don't share any like day. It's almost like that question when, you know, we ask our kids like, so how was your day? Like, what'd you do? Like, you know, and then we kind of ask them and try to pull out what happened at school, or was anything, you know, funky happen or whatever, right? Just to get conversation or to learn about what's going on during the day. But on the flip side, I don't necessarily think that's not a regular thing that I'm going to share. Like, oh, guess what? I just got off this call and this happened, or this deal went down, or, you know what I mean? It's almost like the kids look at it as like, the work or whatever. Is this just?
Yeah, it's just.
That's all it is. It's just fucking. Yeah, it's this thing.
You don't think it would be mutually beneficial for? I feel like Manny kind of has done this in a way, but you, would it be beneficial to, like, maybe not something that's real stressful, but something that happened at work for you, to pick your son's brain as an exercise for him? Like, what would you do? Like, this is the situation. What do you think?
Yeah, no, it's a good idea.
I think that would be empowering for him, and like, dope. You know, a skill, like him, you know, and kind of dope for you, and just father and son, and just like a cool little exercise to do.
Yeah, I'm gonna try that. And I've taken him out to different works, and they're like, he knows the fun side, right? Right, stuff, right. But But I think just in general, it's not something that I just think about, like, ah, let me share these ups and downs, which we try to pull from our kids on their day to day. I'm gonna take your advice on that one.
Yeah, it's almost not fair, right? Because we're hounding them, like, yo, how was your day? What do you mean you don't know? Blah blah.
Right.
Instead, like, we don't set the tone either around that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So
does life suck?
Oh, life is beautiful, dog. Life is so good. Yo, shout out to Steve Rifkin and Jerry Ferrara, Fatherhood's podcast alumni that was at the Knicks game.
Oh, that's right. I forgot that Steve was on the show.
That's right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. With the Suns. Yeah.
The Suns. Yeah. I didn't get to talk to them, but I did see them from afar. So it was cool to be in the spot with other Fatherhoods.
Nice. You guys saw that clip I sent, right, today? Which is kind of in line with what we're talking about.
Uh-huh.
Pretty interesting.
No, it was. It was
therapy,
it was...
no therapy.
Look ahead. Introduce it, bro. They don't know what we were talking about.
No, it was a Joe Rogan clip with I don't even know who the person was, but she wrote a book, and it was talking about, was it Generation Z? Gen Z?
Oh, yeah. The high levels of anxiety in Gen Z versus other generations.
And saying that therapy is not necessarily the right thing for because it's like a go-to for Gen Z, mm-hmm. you know, and for parents of Gen Z to, like, put them in therapy. And
right. The thing that was funny was just, like, the idea that she was saying, like, you know, as parents or just no one in general, no one tells their kids to just, like, suck it up, get over it, you know, all that kind of stuff anymore.
But, I mean, that's kind of, that's real. Like,
yeah, it is.
Because the truth of the matter is, the only way you learn in life is through experience, and those uncomfortable moments in life is what builds up your armor to pull from for the next experience. You know, like, if you went through something, like, if you foresee something happening and you're like, oh, that's going to suck, but you're like, well, I remember when that other thing sucked. It's not as bad as that time. If I got through that, I could get through this, you know. Yeah. I feel like if you're just going to you're sheltering your kid and then throw them in therapy every time they're uncomfortable, they're never going to build up that natural immunity to life's, you know, things.
Well, the idea that when they in that clip she mentioned about you know, getting stuck in that I forget what she called it, but basically, like, the more you talk about, if you're talking about how bad you feel every day, it just makes it worse and worse. So that's all you're focusing on, as opposed to, like, going out and doing things or, you know, being active. And it's funny, like, so this book that we got put onto, when my son was having, you know, I don't want to call it anxiety, but whatever, this nervous stuff going on. But it's kind of in line with that theory of, like, the more that you focus on it, the bigger and more consuming it gets. So I'll find the book, but it was pretty interesting the way they framed it. They framed it like it's a worry bully, right? They gave a form to what you're feeling. And then, so you've got this worry bully. And then the idea is that you only take, like, 15 minutes a day, like, you have set worry time, and if you start feeling anxious during the day, you're worrying about things and you want to start asking people about it, it's like, not, you know, go put it in the chest for right now until it's time to talk about it at worry time. And then at worry time, that's when it comes out, you talk about it, you dissect the truth from the worry, because all the worry bully is really trying to do is just poke at you no matter what and just amplify it. It could be anything, right? If you're not worried about something that you were the day before, that worry bully is going in there and trying to, you know, just stir shit up. Yeah. And essentially, you know, the more that you think about it or the more that you give into it, it makes it grow. It makes the plants grow, like the worry. It just gets bigger and bigger. But if you're able to kind of compartmentalize it, push it away, talk about it in a limited amount of time, then the idea is as time goes on, you kind of have less and less worry during worry time because you're learning how to just push it down, deal with it at a certain point. You're not giving it, you're not pouring water on it to give it life if it's a plant.
Right.
And you're telling this form that you can kind of see, like, get the hell out of here. You know, you're done.
Yeah, so I know what you're trying to do.
Yeah.
But no, not today, Satan.
Right. Exactly. But to that lady's point, it's that I do believe that, like, you know, you just sit there and now granted, there's some people who have, you know, very debilitating disorders where
legitimate things,
it's hard. Right. Like you almost can't get out of your head. Right. Yeah. But
yeah, that's not a generational thing. I think that's for everybody, you know, and yeah, you have to get out, get yourself, your mind off of things basically. Is this, you know, and the saying this too shall pass is legit. I don't know if this necessarily correlates, but, and I think I've talked about this before, but one of the things that I used to do when I was younger and like nervous about or anxious about things or worried about whether it be bullies or different things is I used to always think about war.
Oh yeah.
And because I would watch a lot of war movies and I would always be like, man, and, you know, and my pops was in Vietnam, and even though we weren't close, that was a big thing for me. And I would be like, I'm here worrying about going to school and dealing with A, B, and C. Meanwhile, these people were in the trenches and were in a foxhole and being shot at, or these guys in World War II. I used to be nervous about flying. I used to be like, man, these guys were in these, you know, parachuting in Normandy and getting shot at, you know, and the plane was, you know, being shot at and it was shaking and they flew out and they went through the whole war and some of these guys survived. I'm like, what am I worried about? A little turbulence, you know, like these are the things that I would think about. And I was watching a whole other podcast about some whole other stuff, like a CIA Cuban guy, the guy who captured, was a part of the capturing Che Guevara, right?
Mm.
Real hardcore dude. He's way old now. But he's like a hardcore dude. He's done a lot of stuff in his life. Was in Vietnam, was in all these different places. And he was talking about something that was interesting. He was saying that he would come home and he had kids, you know, from these different things that he was always constantly in. He was in the CIA. And this is Iran-Contra, all this era that he's highly active. And his kids would have like a cold or the flu and a fever, and his wife would be worried, and he would be like didn't give a damn. He's like, and his wife would be like, what is wrong with you? This is your kids and they're sick. And she's like worried sick about them. And the way he said on the podcast, I was like, this comes from some real ass shit. He's like, man, I've seen kids missing limbs and people lose eyes and people get shot and survive, or, you know, like all this craziness and people survive. You think I'm worried about my kid having a high fever? You know what I'm saying? In a non-war right. zone situation. He's like, maybe he said it was, you know, his bad in a way, but he's like, hey, they're going to survive that
They'll
shit.
Be all right. You know? They'll be all
right. Right.
Yeah. And I was like, that's some real ass shit, man.
Yeah, that's true. But my perspective plays a big role in all of that stuff, right? Because, like, even in both of those things you guys shared, like, where you decide to focus your energy mentally is what will essentially become your reality, right? And then if that's the negative thing, then it's going to be a negative experience for you. If it's a positive, it'll come around. But the differentiator that I found, and I've been doing a lot of this, like, mindset stuff for a bit. You could dream about stuff, or you can decide that that's what you want and make it your intention to go pursue. But there's action that needs to take place, right? As far as that, it's not like just like, oh yeah, I wish $1 million just fell on my lap, and then you're not doing nothing for the cause. You gotta be able to condition yourself to really like go get that, even when you're high or low. It doesn't matter. You gotta still stay the course, because you might achieve a certain level of success beyond where you are today, and then you think, yo, that's it. But that's not necessarily the thing that you were really aiming at. But you settle. Right. And then the same thing on the flip, it's like, yo, if you go down negative town and you stay there, you're stuck. So you gotta be able to, like, and for our kids, like, those examples of us sharing those experiences do a whole lot more than us just saying, yo, don't be down on yourself, blah, 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 because you can't really control their emotions like that. But they see you dealing with it in a particular way. They get a lot more benefit out of that.
Yeah, well, we always tell my son what my late father-in-law would always say, what the mind can conceive and truly believe, it will achieve. that was his quote, yeah.
Yo, you know how many of those things are out there for centuries and centuries, and people just gloss over them? Those things are like,
it's in all religious texts. Really in all religious texts. That's the one thing that I'm not a religious person, but the one thing I like is when you can find the common denominator in all religions. And there's different things, whether it's like dieting, like foods, like you should eat, fasting, like different things. And there's truth in that. It has to be, because for all these religions from around the world to have these truths, you know, in common is a big deal. And that's one of them. The idea that it becomes a math and science thing, like the whole thing of, like, you know, how everything works, kinetic energy and the ether, whatever. I'm using probably the wrong terms, you know, like just the throw the graphic over me with E equals MC squared. But the shit is real.
Garbage in, garbage out. Or if you flip it on the positive side, then.
Which scares me, because I think a lot of crazy shit. So yeah. I'm like, God damn it. Stop it.
I mean, if you think about it, like, we are here, humanity, the earth, everything that involves, you know, what our surroundings are, is all about more life, right? Doesn't matter if it's a weed growing or if it's a plant that can feed people. That should, these things are going to grow. It's just a matter of what you feed them and what you want to grow and what you don't. So your mind is the same way. You can grow a whole bunch of weeds because you're feeding it garbage, or you can, you know, keep the farm clean, so to speak, and like really feed it the stuff, the nutrients that are going to keep it thriving. So it's the same thing, but it's such simple shit, profound, and it's hard because you got to shift mindsets. But at the same time, like the fruit that you bear is insane.
All right. I gotta go do some dad shit.
Go do some dad shit.
Don't get it, listening. Motherfuckers. Let's go. Right. Fatherhood.
Yo, be a father. If not, why bother, son? A boy can make him, but a man can raise one. Be a father to your child.